Friday at this press conference that there were signs in our system that the number of people in hospital in Wales with COVID-19 had stabilised and that new admissions for the virus had started to decline. And I'm very pleased to be able to say that this pattern has persisted over the weekend, so that we can draw some further confidence that the measures we are all taking continue to save lives. And it's also very good to be able to say that from discussions this morning with chief constables across Wales, that over another weekend of fine weather, observations of the continued restrictions remained at a high level. And as ever, I want to thank those people right across Wales who are having to deal with the restrictions for the way in which they are being observed. Nevertheless, the impact of the virus remains very real. On Saturday, we passed another sad and sober milestone when the number of people to have died in our daily report of that number exceeded 500 for the first time. And I never want to come to one of these press conferences without taking a moment to remember each one of those lives and the human cost which the pandemic is taking from so many families. Many of those individuals will have been cared for by the hospice movement in Wales, and many of those families will continue to draw on the bereavement support that hospices in Wales offer. And that's why over the weekend we were very pleased to announce a £6 million package of support for hospices to allow them to continue to provide vital services and high quality care at a time when their ability to raise funds themselves is so much affected by the virus. Over the weekend, we also reported on the results of the rapid review of testing here in Wales, and as you know, we have a strengthened plan following that rapid review, working with the military here in Wales, both to increase the number of tests and to make sure that the tests we have available are used to the maximum extent. Today, we're announcing that we are putting £100 million more into the Economic Resilience Fund, which was announced just a couple of weeks ago. We've had a huge response to that fund since the details were announced on Friday. More than 6,000 small businesses and social enterprises applying for grant support in the first 24 hours. And 72 hours since that was announced, we're finding an extra £1 million to bolster that fund today. Altogether, that means that we are making nearly £2 billion worth of support available to small businesses and charities here in Wales to support them through these incredibly difficult times. Now, later this afternoon, I will be attending a virtual ceremony ahead of the official opening of Ysbyty Calon y Ddraig in the Principality Stadium here in Cardiff. And that will be the largest field hospital in the United Kingdom outside London. And the huge amount of work that has gone on across the NHS in Wales to create new capacity is nothing short of remarkable. In just a few short weeks, we have doubled the number of critical care beds and are on our way to increasing the bed stock available to the NHS from the usual 10,000 to 17,000 beds. And we've been able to do this thanks to the hard work of our NHS staff, of course, but also the local authorities, our military planners, and many other organisations right across Wales. I want for a moment to end to look ahead again. The law requires us to carry out a review of the new stay-at-home regulations every 3 weeks. And we've been carrying out that review here inside the Welsh Government. We've been looking in detail at the regulations to see whether there are any areas which need to be tightened or areas where we could make other sorts of changes. So, for example, we are looking at strengthening the regulations in relation to people travelling to second homes in Wales, while at the same time, we hope to be able to offer some new help to families who have children with learning disabilities or autism to enable them to exercise more than once a day. The work finalising the regulation changes will happen during the rest of this week, and by the weekend, we hope to be able to provide full details of them. And all of this is part of our determination to use the next 3 weeks to look ahead, to plan purposefully for the future, so that when it becomes safe to do so, we are in as strong a position as we can be to begin the journey back to the lives we were all able to lead before the pandemic began. Diolch yn fawr, happy to take some questions. Start with Felicity.
Thank you very much, First Minister. Could I ask about the rapid review of testing that you mentioned there and the measures that you're planning to put in, web booking, for example, the use of the military to help with all of this. When can we actually expect to see all of these measures implemented and operational? And is it the case now that the previous figures that you'd set yourself as the criteria for testing, in other words, 5,000 by the middle of the month and capacity for 9,000 by the end of the month, they have now gone, have they?
Well, when will we start to see the impact of the results of the rapid review? I hope we will begin to see them during this week. We've had a meeting this morning involving the military, involving Care Forum, Wales, and others to turn the recommendations of the review into actions on the ground. And we focused this morning on how we can streamline the path from the person who needs the test to getting that test done, because as you'll know, at the end of last week particularly, we had tests available that weren't being taken up, and that was partly because of the complexity of the system. We're using military planners to help us to streamline that system as best we can. You still have to have safeguards in the system. You've still got to make sure that people turn up at the right place, at the right time, have the right test for the right person. And that does take a bit of organising, but we are confident that we can do it in a more streamlined way. And that will mean that more of those tests are being taken up. We're not going to get to the 5,000 figure that we had hoped to get to by the middle of this month. What we've said in the rapid review is that we will report every week on the number of tests available in the NHS in Wales on a daily basis, the number that are being taken up, and the plans that we have to increase that number over the week ahead.
But you're not setting yourself a target as you were previously?
No, we're not going to do that. Professor Kerry Phillips in a BBC interview yesterday from Swansea University said that he thought setting a number wasn't helping to get everything done that we want to see done. I'm not going to do that again, but we will report every week giving people the actual numbers so people can see the pattern for themselves as we do what we want to do, increase the number of tests and increase the number of those tests that are being used for the right people and for the right purpose.
Why were targets set in the first place then?
Because the advice we had from the people who help us to develop testing is that we had confidence at that point that we could get to 5,000 tests. A lot of questions being asked in press conferences like this about what the number would be. And because there was confidence in the number, I thought it was right to share that number. As it has happened, some of the things that we were relying upon to allow us to get to the 5,000 number a day haven't turned out to be achievable in practice, partly because some of those things are outside our own control. So we were relying on equipment coming to Wales from overseas. We were relying on some reagent chemicals coming to Wales from overseas. Those deliveries haven't arrived to the timescale that we had hoped, and therefore we're behind the number of tests we had thought we would be able to carry out. But we published the figure in good faith because that's what the best advice was that we could achieve, and because there was a call for us to do that.
My other question is not about testing, so if you wanted to carry on with testing issues.
I have one on testing, yes, if I may. Looking ahead to a possible easing of the lockdown restrictions, how critical a role do you envisage for testing and contact tracing within the community? And how are you going to ensure you have enough people to resource that?
Thank you. Look, those are really important questions, because the sort of testing we will need as we move beyond the lockdown is different to the type of testing we have now. At the moment, what we are doing is testing patients in hospitals and staff in critical services. As we begin to lift the lockdown, no matter how carefully and how cautiously we do it, it is inevitable that the circulation of the virus in the community will grow in some places. And what we need then is community testing and surveillance that will allow us to spot those outbreaks quickly and to get on top of them quickly through contact tracing and isolation of people who've got the virus. Now, we are fortunate in Wales that we still have a national public health service with public health presence in all parts of Wales. And I've been discussing with the Chief Medical Officer this morning how we draw up a plan to make sure that we have people on the ground capable of pursuing outbreaks where they begin to emerge, and to make sure the community testing is available to do that job. And I think we are, you know, we're moving from a position of strength, but a position we will have to strengthen still further. So I know that with Public Health Wales, the Chief Medical Officer will be giving advice to me and to Vaughan Gethin about the number of people we will need, the sort of feet on the ground we will need to carry out that sort of community-based testing and surveillance. And I want to use the 3 weeks we've got to plan, as I said, as purposefully as we can for the world we will begin to see after the lockdown starts to be lifted, and having a strengthened public health presence on the ground is part of that, and we're planning that from now.
And who would those people be that you mentioned on the ground who are helping with the community surveillance?
Yeah, well, I think there'll be a number of strands in that, Andy. I think there will be making maximum use of the directors of public health we have in our health boards already, but we're going to mobilise, we're going to need to mobilise more people. For example, the people we have in local authorities. We have public health workers in local authorities, in environmental health, for example. But there is a strong likelihood that we are going to need to recruit people who can just be a presence on the ground. They won't necessarily have to be people with, you know, long degrees and lots of experience in sophisticated public health medicine, but they will be a presence on the ground, helping us to do that job of spotting, tracing, and isolating. And we talked this morning about where we might be able to recruit those people from. I don't want to over-anticipate what the plan will say, but university students, for example, over the coming months may be a source that we could go to help us strengthen that surveillance network we're going to need in all parts of Wales.
Presumably, you're talking about thousands of people here.
I don't want to say thousands without having seen the plan. But as I say, we've talked about the plan this morning. It's being jointly worked up by the Chief Medical Officer and Public Health Wales. What we talked about this morning was, first you need a plan, but by the time we come to lift lockdown, I want to see implementation of that plan actually happening on the ground.
OK, to move on from testing. The Grange Hospital in near Newport, yes, won't now reopen, won't now open early. Is that completely good news, or was it a mistaken, down to mistaken modelling then?
No, it is good news. We're not needing to bring the opening forward because we have capacity within the current system. That means we're able to manage the number of patients that we have in the system for COVID purposes and non-COVID purposes in that part of Wales. And the advice from people on the ground is that we don't need to accelerate the opening of the Grange Hospital at this point, because we have beds available and enough beds in the current system to be able to manage.
Is it a sign that we are in the peak now?
Well, it is a sign, I believe, of the success that we have had. The success that comes both from the efforts we've had to increase capacity in parts of the existing system, but also the success we've had through all the actions that people in Wales have taken, which means that the circulation of the virus in the community has been suppressed, and we don't have the inflow into hospitals and into critical care beds that we were anticipating if we hadn't succeeded. So it's a sign of success. What we've managed means that the current system is coping, and that we're not needing to turn on the valve of extra and accelerated capacity.
What if it doesn't cope?
Well, if it doesn't cope, then the Grange Hospital is there and getting ready every day for what would have been its planned opening in the next few weeks, in any case, as will be other capacity in the field hospitals that we've mentioned already. And I see on the board that the very first question that's been submitted is about field hospitals. So shall I turn to the questions to start with? So this is a question from Dan Bevan from Global Radio, often here with us, asking, what are the expectations for usage of Dragon's Heart Hospital? Do you have a message for those who turned it around so quickly? Well, the anticipation for the use of the Ysbyty Calon Ddraig is that it will be used for step-down purposes in the first instance. That people in our main hospital system who have experienced COVID-19 and are now on a path to recovery, if we can get them to that new field hospital in Cardiff to complete their recovery, then it will release capacity in our main hospitals, particularly for those who need more critical acute care. And the message for those who turned it around so quickly, well, it is just to say, isn't it? It's a truly remarkable story, what has been achieved there, to turn the Principality Stadium, a stadium known right across the world, from a rugby stadium into a hospital. And that story will be reported around the world as well. And it will be a sign, I think, of the amazing collective effort that we have mobilised here in Wales. So to make that happen, private businesses have been a really important part of it. And I've said before, but I want to say again, you know, just how much we appreciate the extent to which businesses in Wales have come forward spontaneously with offers of help of all sorts to respond to the virus. And that's certainly true in relation to the hospital, but all the other people who've worked to make that hospital a reality in opening it today. A linked question in a sense that it relates to the Aaron Bevan area. We learnt last week, Steve Morris from The Guardian asks, that almost 40% of the COVID-19 deaths in Wales have been in the Aaron Bevan board area. Why do you believe that that is the case? We don't know everything about coronavirus yet, do we? You know, we are still learning a great deal about the nature of the virus, the way it's transmitted, how different patterns in different parts of the world and in the United Kingdom are being observed. As far as what we do know in the Aaron Bevan, I think there are three or four different reasons that we think help us to understand. First of all, the Aaron Bevan was the first health board area in Wales to be into the coronavirus disease, so the impact there was first. So inevitably, at the moment, it takes up a higher proportion of deaths in Wales because other parts of Wales are yet to see the impact of the disease in the way that Aaron Bevan did, and maybe they won't see it to the same extent because in the meantime we've been able to suppress circulation of the virus in the community. Aaron Bevan is an urban area. It serves, you know, an essentially urban population. We know that the virus circulates more quickly where people live close by one another, and we know something about the nature of the population in an Aaron Bevan, which has some of the poorer, older, sicker parts of the population here in Wales. And we know the coronavirus attacks older people and people with underlying health conditions more than others, and an Aaron Bevan has a higher proportion of people like that living in that health board area. So I think those are some of the explanations that lie behind that figure. A question from Llanelli online. Managers of care homes in Wales say residents have been released from hospital who display symptoms of COVID-19, yet there's a week delay for testing. Why is there such a delay? I'm slightly puzzled by the question, because if someone is being released from hospital and they have symptoms of COVID-19, they will have been tested in the hospital, because people who are symptomatic are being tested in the hospital before they are cared for anywhere else. The debate over the last week has been about people who leave hospitals for care homes without any symptoms. Now, one of the reasons we haven't tested those people up until now is because people who test, who don't have symptoms and are tested on one day, can develop symptoms quickly afterwards. And I can imagine that there are people who turn up in a care home and then develop symptoms, and that's why we carried out the review. That's why we want to make sure that we accelerate testing for people in those circumstances, use those slots for them, and then get the results back to people as quickly as we can. But if you're leaving hospital and you've got symptoms, you should be tested in the hospital, and I think that is what has been happening. Rob Taylor from Wrexham.com would like to know, the UK government, he says, have announced opening of a mega lab in Alderley Park in Cheshire, 50 miles away from Wrexham. Will any Welsh tests be sent there rather than Cardiff over the coming weeks before the North Wales facility opens? Well, my understanding is that the mega lab opened properly yesterday, so it's very early days there. And just generally, I just want to make the point, from the Welsh Government's point of view, the border between England and Wales is not a decisive matter in fighting coronavirus. Coronavirus is a global issue. We don't ask, is the facility in England or is it in Wales? We ask, is it the best facility for us to use? At the moment, we've been testing people in, the test results have been established here in Cardiff. They don't distinguish between tests that come from different parts of Wales. Everybody gets a completely fair shot at those facilities. If there are facilities elsewhere and we're able to use them, then the border will not be a barrier to that happening as far as the Welsh Government is concerned. A question from Rob Minchin from the Press Association asking, do you think it's important heads of governments attend meetings related to national emergencies? I do think that it's important that the heads of the different governments inside the United Kingdom get together regularly to make decisions in relation to the Cobra emergency. I've written to Michael Gove today following the experience last week. Last week we had a meeting of the devolved administrations, the Mayor of London and Mr. Gove in the middle of the week, and that culminated in a Cobra meeting on Thursday. What I've said to Mr. Gove today is that I believe it's important to have a regular rhythm of these meetings over the next 3 weeks. That I don't want to be in a position of us meeting the day before the 3 weeks are up and to agree on what's going to happen in short order, because I think those decisions are going to be more complicated and more contentious than simply a decision to extend the lockdown. So I would like to see, I propose this in my letter, that we have a pattern where, as a minimum, officials of the administrations meet in the first part of the week. We have a meeting with Mr. Gove, the devolved administrations and the Mayor of London in the middle of the week, and it culminates in a Cobra that signs off the progress that we are making together by the end of the week. And I've said that because I think that is the best way in which we can go on securing a four-nation agreement to a plan for how we begin to move beyond lockdown. And I've always said that my own view is that moving together across the United Kingdom is the best way of doing things for Wales. If we can't secure it and we need to make decisions for ourselves, then of course that is what we will do. But my letter to Mr. Gove this morning is designed to underpin a UK-wide way of doing things in which the heads of the different UK governments come together in meetings that deal with a national emergency. I'm time to go back around the room one more time. I can see Adrian first this time.
Can I raise with you the issue of the disproportionately high number of black and minority ethnic people that have died and have been affected by coronavirus? The BMA has called for an investigation. Do you support the call for an investigation? And will you institute an investigation?
I think it is a very important issue. Our staff in the health service are disproportionately drawn from black and minority ethnic communities, and we know that there is emerging evidence around the world that people from those communities can be disproportionately affected by the virus. And you know, some people suggest it's because in some communities some of the underlying conditions are more prevalent and therefore people are more vulnerable. I've had a number of letters in from organisations that represent people from BME communities, both generally and inside the health service. And of course, we take those very seriously. I want an opportunity to talk to those organisations, to get views from them as to how best we can make sure that we protect those communities here in Wales to the best of our ability and mobilise the sorts of research efforts that are needed to understand the patterns that may be there and what is causing them.
So would there be a Welsh investigation?
Well, I don't want to say that I think that there is a distinctively Welsh dimension that means we should have a Welsh-only investigation. If there are, if there's a case for doing it on a Wales-only basis, then of course we would do that. But it seems to me that the sorts of precipitating conditions are as likely to apply in England or Scotland as they are in Wales, and this may be one of those areas where working with our colleagues will get us better and more rapid answers and therefore allow us to attend to the needs of those communities as quickly as we can. Felicity.
Thank you. Given the financial pressures on local authorities that we heard about from Andrew Morgan of the WLGA at the weekend, do you intend to pass on the full £95 million consequential that the Treasury says is coming to Wales to Welsh local councils?
Well, we've already announced £104 million worth of funding for Welsh local government without having a consequential at all, and that included the £40 million for social care that we announced on Friday. But I absolutely recognise both the enormous pressures that local authorities are under, and I think the fantastic job that they have done over the last 3 weeks in stepping into spaces where needs were urgent and they were the people closest to the ground and able to respond to them. So we'll be having further discussions with the WLGA and with Andrew Morgan today about the money that is now said to be coming to us from the UK government. We'll want to talk to local authorities about how best money can be used and what the quantum should be. But we've already supplied more than the consequential in the announcements we've made so far, and there will definitely be more to come. Andy.
Can I just ask you, what was the catalyst for writing that letter to Michael Gove? And secondly, to what extent do you think the official figures in Wales on deaths from coronavirus are reflecting the true picture?
Well, the precipitating reason for writing the letter was the experience of last week, because I thought the rhythm of last week worked well. We had, you know, meetings at official level in the first part of the week. We were able to have a meeting with Mr. Gove, just the devolved administration of the Mayor of London, which gives you a better opportunity, in some ways, to have a dialogue about the things we were all facing. And then there was a cobra at the end of the week in which we all came together and made the formal decision. I thought that rhythm worked reasonably well, but it came right at the end of the first three-week period with a big decision to make. I don't think we can afford to wait 3 weeks for that to happen next time, which is why I wrote arguing for that to be the regular pattern of the next 3 weeks, a rhythm that we can all work to make sure we are sharing information and coming together to make the best decisions. The figures that we publish of deaths are deaths in hospital. That's why we can do them daily. I think they are accurate in that way, but they only reflect that part of the picture. ONS publish on a Tuesday every week, but a couple of weeks behind, a broader figure that includes deaths outside hospital where coronavirus is listed on the death certificate. So you've got to look at those two things together, because deaths in hospital by themselves quite certainly don't reflect the full picture